Well, our preacher coming is Brother Jody Jenkins, and I'm going to have him come right along and preach without any further ado, and I want you to pray for him. I met him when he was just a young fella. He had been a renowned athlete in our state and had scholarships to go to universities and play, but God called him to preach, and the Lord brought him here. He came from his home church, of course, and now his pastor, Brother Gene Lashley, one of the finest men in all the world, has retired from that pastorate in Gray, Tennessee, and Jody has become the pastor there. And he and his wife and children are everlastingly at it, and I thank God for him. I want you to pray for Brother Jody Jenkins as he comes to preach. God bless you, buddy.
Thank you. Nehemiah chapter 2, please. Nehemiah chapter number 2. While you're finding your place, I want to say it's, again, my privilege to be back home. And I appreciate this place and Dr. Sexton, Miss Sexton. I appreciate this conference, what it's standing for. And Brother Treber, I'm not sure where you're at, but God bless you. What a message, brother. It's my privilege to meet you. And I just wish your dad and yourself would just get a little bit more enthusiasm about you, you know? Praise the Lord for it. It is my honor to be here. And I don't take this lightly. And Dr. Sexton, I love you. You're a dear friend, and I sure appreciate your influence on our life. Nehemiah chapter 2, for time's sake, I'm just going to read one verse of Scripture, verse number 18. The Bible says, "And I told them of the hand of my God which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, Let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." If you mark your Bible, there's three words in verse number 18. It's the last three words of the verse. It's my title, my topic, my theme, and my text. It's the three words, this good work. This good work. Let's pray together. I'll share this thought with you. Father, help me. You know my heart. If there's anything hindering you, forgive me. Remove it. Get out of my life. And I pray for this moment that the Holy Spirit of God will be our invited guest. Would you meet with us in a marvelous way? Thank you for the message that we've already heard. Bless this message. Use it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. In chapter 1, you see how Nehemiah was a man with an exalted position. He was the king's cupbearer, but this was a position that was given to a person of high character and trustworthiness. However, even though he was a man of this position, he still loved his own people and his city very much. And because of this love and devotion, he asked some men concerning his people and city. And once he heard of the terrible conditions of the people and the broken down walls, he sits down, he weeps, he fasts, and he begins to pray. Then in chapter 2, we see how Nehemiah is a man of passion to go to his city and people and build it again. He just had to do something about the awful conditions that he'd heard about. The Lord answers his prayers beyond what Nehemiah asked for, and the king gives him an armed guard to go to Jerusalem. Now, as we come to verse number 8 of chapter 2, we see Nehemiah is giving the Lord all the praise for his wonderful work on his behalf. But in verses 11 through 20, I'll be honest, when I was first reading through this text and meditating upon this portion of Scripture, I was struggling some with what the main thought of these verses is. However, as I sought the Lord, he opened this passage up to my understanding in such a way that I give him all the glory. There's no doubt in my mind that the key center of these verses is found in verse number 18. It's the three words, this good work. There's no doubt that what Nehemiah is trying to do for the glory of God is a good work. This work of rebuilding the walls that have been broken down in order for protection to keep outsiders out and separation to keep insiders in and not intermingle with the heathen. This is a good work that Nehemiah has given his life to. It's important that we realize that this work of the book of Nehemiah is a good work for Nehemiah. This is why he didn't mind taking the approximately 3-month journey from the palace to Jerusalem. This is why he wasn't content with being the king's cupbearer. This is why he sat down and wept and fasted and prayed. This is why he was willing to risk his own life by being sad in the king's presence. This is why he heard, whenever he heard the news of the destruction, he just had to do something about it. This is why he refused to let opposition stop him. Nehemiah knew that what he was giving his life to, that this is a good work to give his life to. And in the same way,
We must realize that any work that's pleasing to the Lord, whether it be building a strong marriage, loving an enemy, or this emphasis, evangelizing the world, that is a good work to give your life to today. And I want to talk to you about this good work. And I want to bring several things out in our text about this good work in the book of Nehemiah. Number one, in verse 12, we notice the author of it. We see the author of this good work. Look at verse number 12 and notice the language. It says in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse number 12, he says, "And I arose in the night, I and some few men with me. Neither told I any man," get this, "what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem." I want you to notice with me how Nehemiah is careful to identify where this good work of building the walls and helping the distress was coming from. It wasn't his idea. It wasn't his emotionalism. It was the working of Almighty God in his heart. And he wanted to do something about this. God was so working in his heart that he couldn't sit still. He couldn't just sit back and do nothing. God was working in his heart that it was no longer satisfied with the status quo of the day. God was so working in his heart that he just had to get involved in order to help meet this need. You know, there have been others who had come and gone, but the Lord had put something different in Nehemiah's heart. God was authoring this great work. It wasn't Nehemiah's idea. It was God's idea. And I'm telling you this morning, in the same way, we should strive to be more like Nehemiah by letting the Lord Jesus Christ, our God, put in our hearts what he wants to be there. We should have a desire to fulfill whatever the Lord wants us to do in our lives. We should let the Lord be the author of our lives and send us anywhere he wants us to go to do anything he wants us to do. There are broken down walls all around us. There are broken lives, broken homes, broken relationships, broken promises. And these people need the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to reach them. And one way he does this is he authors a vision in which he puts the desire to do something about it in the hearts of his children. I'm so encouraged with this meeting and what it's standing for. God's helping me get it. Praise God. But I'm going to tell you something. This is not Pastor Sexton. This is not something he's authored. He knows that. But God has authored something in his heart. And I'm telling you something. It's a privilege when God authors a vision in your heart. Number one, we notice the author of it. I wonder today, what is God trying to author in your heart? What's he want you to do? What's the vision he's trying to give to you? Number one, the author of it. Number two, the appraisal of it. In verses 13 to 17, I'm not going to read this for time's sake, but we see that what Nehemiah does is he starts taking a survey trip around this city. And in these verses, we see Nehemiah in this survey trip in the night to see the conditions of the walls. As a matter of fact, we see how precise of a survey this truly was by the careful wording of the Bible here. If you'll notice in verse number 13, he went out by the gate of the valley and made a complete circle back to the same gate in verse 15. This is also shown in the fact of how carefully brought out how there was no place for his beast to pass in verse number 14. See, all of this goes to show that Nehemiah made a very diligent search of the broken down walls. He was very thorough. He was not half-hearted. Get this, he had already heard about it, but now he went to see it for himself. Then in verse number 17, we see him giving his appraisal of the conditions of the people and city. Look at verse 17. "Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in. How Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more of reproach." See, in this we notice how he mentions how they were in distress. You know what that word distress means? It means misery, trouble, sorrow, and affliction. Then he goes on to say how the city lieth waste. It means in ruins. Then he shares how the gates of the city were burned. In all of this, what we see an appraisal of this good work was truly an appraisal that revealed that something needed to be done. People were hurting. People were in distress. They were in misery. They were in trouble. They were in sorrow. They were in affliction. The city was ruined and lying in waste. The appraisal was this. The need was available and it was there. And somebody needed to step up and do something about it. The point I'd like to make here is we see Nehemiah opening his eyes, opening his ears, and seeing the need for this good work. And as he looked, he saw the true need to do something about it. You know, in the same way, we've already heard this in the opening sermon, we need to open our eyes to the needs around us. There are people hurting all over the world and broken down walls everywhere we look. Listen, do a spiritual appraisal in the Word of God and see how desperate of a condition others are truly in. Do you really believe that they're going to die and go to hell? If you really believe in a literal place called hell, it'll change the way you witness. And I'm telling you, number one, we're noticing this good work of rebuilding the walls. The author of it was God. The appraisal of it, it is a need. There were people in distress, and the walls were ruined, and the gates were burned. Number three, we notice the appeal for it. The author of it, the appraisal of it, the appeal for it. Look at verses 17 and 18. Then said I unto them, you see the distress that we're in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. See, after Nehemiah realizes God has placed this burden on his heart, and he's done a spiritual survey of the need, he turns his attention to the people, and he appeals for their help in this good work. There were others who were there and had seen what Nehemiah saw, but God had placed it into the heart of this one man to rise and build the walls again. He doesn't use his influence to belittle the people who were seemingly complacent about the situation. By the way, you have Christian complacency. There's some Christians that's not going to get involved, careless, but he didn't belittle those people. Rather, what he did is he rallies them to a common goal of building the wall of Jerusalem. And I want to give you some thoughts about this appeal that I want to bring out. First of all, under this, it was an appeal for cooperation. In verse number 17, he said, let us build. Now notice it says right here, let us build. You know what this means? This means Nehemiah saw his own part in this good work. He was simply saying, let's cooperate together to get this good work done for the glory of God. Nehemiah was only one man. And this work required the help and cooperation of others. In chapter 3, we see priests got involved, goldsmiths got involved, merchants got involved, servants and a gatekeeper got involved, apothecaries, rulers, families, individuals got involved. You know what that means? There's a place for every child of God on the wall to help build it. And I'm telling you, he knows that this is a good work, but he also knows that this work is too big for him. He needs help. He needs cooperation. Does any of this sound familiar about this meeting? I'm telling you, God's in this message right here. And I'm telling you that no one person can evangelize the world, but nothing can stop a mighty army of God's children who will come together and cooperate and say, we're going to get the gospel out, God helping us. I'm telling you, he needed help. Hear his appeal. He's saying, let us rise and build. You know, in the same way, there are good works for the Lord that's bigger than anyone can do. For instance, the work of world evangelism. That's pretty good right there. It's a good work. And it's a work that one person cannot do. It will take some cooperation of God's children coming together to work at building that particular wall. You know, in a world where it seems as if many of God's children are divided on so many different issues, we need to understand that there's a lost and a dying world that needs to hear the message of salvation. Let us cooperate and get along and get the gospel around the world. I'm telling you. We're noticing this appeal. It was an appeal for cooperation. Secondly, it was an appeal with a cause. verse number 17, notice he said in the latter part that we be no more a reproach. In this last phrase where it says that we be no more a reproach, it means that we be no more a disgrace. Be no more ashamed. In other words, he's saying we need to rise and build together because they were a reproach to those around them. They were being scorned and mocked as if the Lord had forsaken them. However, if they would unite together and build the wall in the face of opposition, it would help remove this reproach and bring glory to God. You know, in the same way, there are those whom the devil and his evil companions laugh at. They mock at them. They ridicule them. However, if God's people would unite for the cause of Christ in their lives, this reproach would turn into a blessing. There is a cause for this good work. And it's that we be not ashamed, but that God be glorified. Number three, it was an appeal with comfort and confirmation. Notice what he said in verse number 18. After he appealed for them to help, he gives them some comfort and confirmation. He says, "And then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me." Notice in this verse how Nehemiah turns their attention onto the way God had been working on his behalf. He shared with them how the hand of God was moving in this effort of building the walls. Then he shared how even the king, under the direction of the Lord, had given his blessing on this work. See, this goes to show that Nehemiah was comforting the people with how the Lord had been working to confirm this good work. You know, in the same way, we need to get clear direction from God as to what walls he wants to build. Now, one of those walls, no doubt, is world evangelism. There's no doubt about that. Then we need to take notice at what he works, at how he works, to help bring these things to pass. After this, when we appeal for help, we need to point people to the Lord and how he is the one who is behind this movement. See, Nehemiah wanted these people to understand, I'm asking you to help me build, but I want you to know something. God's at work in this. God's behind this. And he's getting them to focus their eyes upon the Lord. Show others how this is not your own idea. That's one thing I love about Dr. Sexton. Is he makes sure we know this is not his idea. This is God's. And we know it because it's biblical. We need to pour our lives into following the Lord Jesus Christ's will and get others helping us in it. And one way we do it is we show how God's working in it. Number one, we're noticing this good work together. Number one, the author of it, God was the author of it. The appraisal of it, there was a need. Some people could close their eyes, but not Nehemiah. He realized it is there whether I like it or not. Then he started to appeal for it. In that appeal, he was asking for cooperation. He was sharing a cause and he was giving comfort and confirmation. Then number four, boy, I like this. We see the acceptance of it. Look at verse number 18. What happened? Then I told them of the hand of my God which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken to me. And they said, let us rise and build. You know, Nehemiah is a man that was carrying a heavy burden for this good work of building the walls of Jerusalem. He realizes that he cannot sit back and do nothing. He's broken before God. He's no longer content with his exalted position of cupbearer. He has seen God answer his prayers. He has taken the survey trip and he has seen the broken down walls with his own eyes. He's poured his heart out to the people for their help and their cooperation. Now, what will they do? Kind of a sticky situation for him. This work he had given his life to. But he realized he couldn't build that wall by himself. He needed help. And he's already done it and shared his appeal. Now he sits back and waits for their answer. Oh, I can just see his heart. Whenever all of a sudden they start popping up one after another in verse number 18 and says, I'll tell you my answer. Let us rise and build. Oh, what a blessing this must have been for Nehemiah. The work he has given his life to now has others willing to help. God is working. And these dear people have accepted
this good work. You know, there are a couple of things about this acceptance here quickly. First of all, their acceptance was significant. You need to keep in mind that this was a work that was too big for Nehemiah. I know I keep saying that, but it's just the way it is. So is world evangelism. It's too big for one man. It was too big for one man to do. Now get this. If these people did not accept this good work, the wall would not have been rebuilt. And if Christians do not accept the appeal to cooperate, the world will not get evangelized. Shame on us if we don't come together to reach a lost and dying world. Secondly, it was a settled acceptance. I find that in the word strengthen. It says, so strengthen they their hands for this good work. So they strengthen their hands for this good work. You know what that word strengthen means? It carries the idea of to be fastened upon. It means to continue. It means to be established and maintained. In other words, they were firmly settled in their minds that this is truly a good work for them to give their lives to. In other words, this wasn't a half-hearted commitment, folks. This was something they said, let us rise and build. So they strengthened. They stuck to it. They did not separate from it. They continued in it. And they're saying here, I'm in this till the work is finished. God, give us Christians like that. May God help us to see the broken down walls of others all around us. At the same time, may we not look to someone else to do the job, but rather see the significance of us doing our part and staying the course until the Lord calls us home. May the Lord help us all to be firmly settled in our minds concerning the good work of God, world evangelism that He wants us to do. At this church at Buffalo Ridge, where I pastor, and other churches, whatever the Lord lays on the pastor's heart is too big for him. I'm learning that. God has laid things on my heart that it's impossible for me to do it by myself. Will you accept personal responsibility? Number one, we're noticing this good work. The author of it was God. This wasn't Nehemiah's idea, it was God's. The appraisal of it, when he heard it and saw it, he realized, hey, there is a need here. All you got to do is look around the world, folks. Number three, the appeal for it. He appealed for them to cooperate. He shared with them that there was a cause for their acceptance. And he shared with them that God was at work and gave them confirmation. That led to the acceptance of these people. But it doesn't stop there. I've got a couple more points and I'll be done here. There's a fifth thing about this good work. And that's the adversaries of it. We see this in verse number 19. Notice this. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 19. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant the Ammonite and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us. And said, what is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? Now we heard a little bit about this yesterday from Brother Thomason. I just want to kind of tap this on the head a little bit. But you know what's interesting here, how the Word of God shares with us? That now get this, folks, don't miss this. As soon as the people accept responsibility, the opposition join forces. The interesting thing about this chapter is this is the first time that Geshem is mentioned. Now, Sanballat and Tobiah has already been mentioned. We already know that they exist. But now Geshem's on the scene. Now, get this point. Nehemiah was by himself at first, if you will. Now he's made an appeal. And the forces of good for God and God's glory are getting additions to it. People are accepting, I'm going to do something for God. I'm going to do something for God. But as soon as the good forces, God's forces grew, so did the evil forces. They started adding members. I'm going to tell you something. Now get this. As the workers of God grow, so are the workers of the devil, folks. Make no mistake about it that when God is served, the devil will oppose.
And these men step up and they try to make them feel embarrassed to do this work. And then accuses them of rebellion by forging lies about them. Sound familiar? I mean, honestly. Forging lies, trying to make you feel embarrassed, trying to get you to back down. Sounds a whole lot like the devil opposes today. Now get this. When a person decides to get up and get busy for God, the devil will hit them any way he can to stop their progress in this good work that they're involved in. Then there's a sixth and final thing here. By the way, you understand when a preacher says final, he's lying to you, right? Number six, we see the answer to this work. Not only the author of it, God is. The appraisal of it, there is a need. The appeal for it, let's cooperate. There is a cause. And God is working on our behalf. The acceptance of it, these people said, let us rise and build. It was a significant acceptance. If they didn't, then that city was going to lie in waste. It was a settled acceptance. But as soon as that happened, adversaries came on the scene. But what did Nehemiah do? He gave the answer to this good work. Look at verse number 20. Then answered I them, the enemies, and said unto them, notice this, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no portion, no right, no memorial in Jerusalem. When the adversaries were attacking this good work, notice what Nehemiah did. He didn't let them discourage him. He didn't say, hey, this is me and I'm going to keep going. No, he pointed them to the Lord. And he said, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. And we will rise and build. We will do our part. We will not stop because God is behind this work. He made it clear that it was not even the king's decree that was going to do this. He was saying, I'm only a vessel in the hands of God. And he took these adversaries to the purpose of God and shared with them how it was the Lord that was going to prosper their work. You know, the answer to all of life's problems and opposition is the Lord. He really is. He's the one who must prosper the work. If the world gets evangelized, it'll be because God does it through his servants who say, let us rise and build. You know, when you decide to get involved in this good work, it's important for you to remember that it's not you, but God who must prosper the work. When the adversaries try to stop you, remind them how this is a good work of God, and he's the one who will make sure it gets done. Don't you stop. Don't get down off the wall. Make up your mind what Nehemiah said, that you will rise, you will build in the face of opposition, realizing that this good work is not yours. It's God's work, not your work. He's the answer to the work and the opposition of it. This work that had occupied the mind of Nehemiah and so broken his heart that he was no longer satisfied with the status quo was a good work, folks. This work of building the walls of the city that had been broken down for years was a good work. It's a good work that has God as the author. It's a good work that calls Nehemiah to realize it was bigger than himself. He knew he must have help to get this work done. And when he shared his vision with the people, they caught it. They accepted responsibility to help in this good work in the face of opposition. Nehemiah knew it was not the people who could do this, but rather the Lord was the one who must help work, who must help the work to prosper. Now I say this, I'm closing. In the same way, there's a good work of world evangelism staring us right in the face. It takes only, get this folks, it takes only one of God's people to open their eyes and see the need. Then he takes that vision and shares it with others so they can see it. And as we share this with others, pray the Lord gets a hold of their hearts and they accept their own responsibility to get involved. And as opposition comes, may we keep our eyes on the answer. This is not our work. It's God's. And if it gets prospered, it'll be because God prospers it, not because man does. I read the verse. Here it is. Then I told them of the hand, verse 18, of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken to me. And they said, let us rise and build.
So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Our Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for the privilege to preach. Thank you for the exalted privilege to call you our Father today. And I pray that you'll help us to catch the vision, to see it, to accept it, and to keep our eyes on the answer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to evangelize the world for the glory of God. In Jesus' name.